Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
The update from One Bills Drive. The Buffalo Sabres take their act now on continuing on the road to Florida to play the Florida Panthers tomorrow. The fourth and final meeting between these two teams this year. The last time they played, the Sabres won 4-3 with a couple of goals from Jeff Skinner. Last night, the Sabres lost to New Jersey 4-1. Sam Reinhart with Buffalo's only goal. Sabres outshot the Devils 35-24, but came up with a loss 4-1 to the New Jersey Devils. Former Sabres goaltender Ryan Miller is now the all-time leader in wins by a U.S.-born goaltender. His Anaheim Ducks beat Washington last night 5-2. Miller made 23 saves, his first start since December 9th. He got his 375th victory, breaking a tie with John Van Beesbrook. Ryan Miller, the all-time leader in wins by a U.S.-born goaltender in National Hockey League history. Buffalo Bills in the market for a tight end now. Late last Friday, they gave themselves some relief cap-wise by releasing tight end Charles Clay. Clay, going into the final year of his five-year contract that he signed with the Bills back in 2015. His production dropped this past season with just 27 catches, 184 yards, and no touchdowns. The Bills with just one tight end on the roster now, and that would be Jason Kroon. The Lions released veteran safety Glover Quinn, along with receiver Bruce Ellington and linebacker Nicholas Grigsby. Quinn signed a five-year deal with Detroit after playing out his contract in Houston in 2017. The Lions handed the 2014 Pro Bowler a two-year contract extension. Cardinals quarterback Josh Rosen continues his rough offseason. He had an accident with his Tesla, posted a picture on Instagram with a massive dent in the rear driver's door. Cardinals said it was a minor accident, no injuries reported. The attorney for Colin Kaepernick says that the quarterback still absolutely wants to play in the NFL. He projected the Carolina Panthers and New England Patriots as two of the best landing spots for him. And last night, Kevin Durant stole the show in the NBA All-Star Game. 31 points for Team LeBron, helping them win the NBA All-Star Game by a final score of 178-164. Amazing. All right. Are we toast? No, the show goes on. Two more. I'm just talking T-shirts.
I know.
Great T-shirts.
I would wear a T-shirt. I got to be honest.
Are we toast? Joining us right now on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, going to talk a little bit about NFL free agency, going to talk a little bit about the NFL draft, and happy to have an expert on the line with us right now. Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus senior analyst. He's been with them since 2012, contributor to the Washington Post. Mike, John Murphy, Steve Tasker here in Buffalo. Thank you very much for joining us.
How are you doing? Well, thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
You bet.
Hey, free agency just a couple of weeks away. I want to start with the Bills free agent signing from last year. You had a brief tweet last week about Star Lotulelei. Let me just read it. Star Lotulelei has 65 total pressures over the last four seasons. He's played 475 snaps last year despite being healthy. Turns 30 years old this year. Cannot feasibly be released till 2021 and has cap hits over $10 million the next four seasons. People lose their minds in free agency. You're saying the Bills lost their mind in their deal for Lotulelei? Is that right?
That is what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. It's obviously a little harsh when you read it out loud like that, but I think it's accurate. I think in today's day and age, paying that much for a nose tackle who's not going to affect the passing game, which is, you know, what is most important, which is the reason why the Bills had such a good defense last year, is because of what they did in terms of coverage and rushing the passer. I think that's just not where you should be investing your money. And I think they have a lot bigger needs, obviously, along the offensive side of the ball and you know, other positions defensively where that money could have been spent.
Yeah, well, it's interesting, too, because here's the thing. The Bills do rotate all their off defensive linemen through. They really felt it was important. You're right, I mean, nobody is ever going to have the sexy numbers from the defensive tackle spot that, say, an Aaron Donald has. And he's, I don't know, I can't think of another one who actually gets after the passer as well as even in that conversation. Really, defensive tackles aren't there, you're right, to affect the passing game. What they're really there to do is open it up for other guys to make plays. So it's hard to see spending, you know, $10 million a year on a guy like that. But by the same token, then I got to look at what that meant to the defense. And if you got a top five defense like the Bills have had in so many categories, I don't know, I kind of shrug my shoulders and say, well, they know what they're doing, and I'll let it slide. And certainly they're getting some value at other spots.
Yeah, I mean, I think just because you have a top five defense, I think you're going to still objectively evaluate individual play along, you know, that defense. Just because, you know, the Chiefs had the best offense in the NFL this year doesn't mean their left guard is an all-pro. It doesn't mean he's worth the money they're paying him. I think you still have to look at each player and what they're bringing to the table. And yes, Latulue, you know, eats up double teams, and yes, that's a valuable sort of trait to have and someone who's selfless enough to do that. But there's a lot of guys who are selfless, and you don't have to pay them $10 million to eat up double teams, I'll say.
One more question on this. We're not going to hammer you on this, Mike, because it's a valid point you make, but we were just talking about this in relation to Charles Clay, a former tight end that the Bills signed to a offer sheet, 4 years ago now. Now he's released. Most of the time, if not all the time in free agency, you overpay. You pay more than what the value might be for a player. Otherwise, you don't get him. He's not going to move. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I mean, by definition, if you are paying someone in free agency from another team, you will think they're worth more than that other team did to them. And they know, you know, they have seen them more than you have. They probably have a good idea of what their real value is. So by that token, you're paying them more than the people who know him best think that he's worth. So you are usually overpaying, but I think there are times where when you have a roster that's, you know, close to competing, where it's good to start going after free agents using that, you know, excess cap space like the Bills have now with, you know, the roster talent that they have. That's when you start targeting players in free agency that fill, you know, bigger, like big needs. Obviously, they have a ton offensively, but guys that start and that could be there not just 1 or 2 years, but 3 or 4 years down the line.
Yeah, and it's interesting too, because a couple of years ago when Sean McDermott took over, and we were talking about this earlier in the show, they made a couple of signings that people were kind of raising their eyebrows at, not very big waves, and it was Micah Hyde and Jordan Poirier, two guys who have really transformed the secondary of the Bills' defense and did it really and was the engine that drove them to the playoffs 2 years ago. Those are kind of the, I would call them, middle range free agents that really kind of do have a shot at giving you what you pay for. Are there any guys like that available at other positions around the league this year that maybe are going to be under the radar signings, but maybe those guys that do give you the rare free agent value?
Yeah, I think that is where free agency is at its best. When guys like Hyde and Poirier, who were not starters at their respective, you know, with the Packers and with the Browns, they were basically backups, is why they didn't get valued by their respective franchises. And so you see the talent there and you see the fit. And so I think that's where you can get the most impact for your dollar. The best, you know, use of your money can be at that, and guys to plug holes and that sort of thing. There's a handful, I'd say, in this class that I'd be targeting in that sort of range. You know, if you need a pass rusher, someone like Shaquille Barrett from the Denver Broncos, just because he was the starter there, got replaced by Bradley Chubb, but has always in our grading been effective. And so I think you'll go a little under the radar just because he only played a hint, you know, 270 or so snaps a season ago because he got replaced. But he got replaced by good players there. So I think I'd target him, someone like him in free agency on the offensive side of the ball, someone like Tyrell Williams. If you really, I get that offense is going to be probably overpriced this offseason because there's so little talent at receiver, at running back, along the offensive line that's going to be available. But I think someone like Tyrell Williams, when he was the number one receiver there for the Chargers, put up over 1,000 yards. Obviously, Keenan Allen comes back, and he is the one eating up all the targets there. But I think Williams still offers a lot in terms of what he can bring to the table.
We're on the line with Mike Renner, Pro Football Focus senior analyst. The post you had last Friday on Pro Football Focus, Mike, dealt with the projection of where the top free agents might land when free agency opens up March 13th. And it seems to be pretty good market in the free agency for pass rush guys, right? DeMarcus Lawrence and a couple of others, Dee Ford. Do you think all these guys are moving, or are they going to be staying where they are right now, do you think?
I think a handful end up staying in place. I can't see Jadeveon Clowney going anywhere other than Houston, obviously, because they have a lot of cap space, can just tag him easily. Dee Ford, similarly, in Kansas City. And I'd also say DeMarcus Lawrence, I don't see him going anywhere. But I do think there's a good chance someone like Trey Flowers, Darius Smith, Preston Smith, there's a handful on the market do make it to free agency. And this is the year to be needing defensive line talent, whether it's the draft or free agency. Both classes just seem loaded. If you need help, I think you'll be able to find it somewhere.
Frank Clark from Seattle, do you see him moving on somewhere?
I think he could. The interesting thing with him is I'm not sure there's going to be a huge market for him. So I do think his price tag will be a little lower just because of, obviously, the domestic violence incident he had at Michigan, some teams just don't even want to touch him. So I do think he could be a cheaper free agent, but I do think he's also a big need for the Seahawks. They can't afford really to let him go. So I don't really see a big franchise tag, but I think he probably ends up back in Seattle if I had to bet.
Yeah, and you also made a mention of Sheldon Richardson of the Jets being a free agent or maybe ending up on the Buffalo Bills roster if he's let's talk about Sheldon Richardson. How likely do you think it is he moves, and how likely is it that he ends up as a Buffalo Bill?
Well, the Vikings are a little cash-strapped after, you know, breaking the bank for Kirk Cousins, so I do think there's a good chance that they're not going to be able to train both him and Anthony Barr, so one of them for sure leaving, and I'm not sure who it's going to be, but I do think if it is Richardson, he's always teased this high-level talent. When he was back with the Jets, he had some dominant years. Went over to Seattle and then Minnesota the last couple of years. Didn't quite, advance in his career like we had hoped we'd see. You know, the natural progression of guys getting better as they go along. He kind of took a step back. But I do still think he's one of the better defensive tackles in the league. Still very young. And obviously he's had his off-field issues as well. So another guy who probably won't get a huge contract compared to the talent that he's going to bring to the table.
Yeah, former Bills draft pick Ronald Darby, now with the Eagles, is now a free agent. You have him projected to the New York Jets. How do you see that working out for him there? What do you think?
Yeah, so I think Darby, he just basically has to go to a system that's a man-heavy sort of system. He was, obviously the Bills thought he was expendable because his zone instincts, just his sort of read and react ability and that sort of off coverages, is not up to snuff. That's not the system you want him playing in. That's why the Bills were happy to part ways with him, because he just would not have fit in that scheme. So I do think he has to go to somewhere that's going to have a ton of man principles. So that's why the Jets, obviously there's a handful of teams, Jets, Bills, Colts, that just have basically blank sort of checks to hand out this offseason with how much cap space they have. And Jets, you can't deny the need there at cornerback after we saw their play, even with Trumaine Johnson. So I think that would be a big need for them.
Last week we had a writer from Baltimore on our program, and when we mentioned Le'Veon Bell to Kadri Ishmael, his mouth was watering, and it seems like the entire Baltimore Ravens locker room would love to get Le'Veon Bell, not only for how it would hurt the Steelers to lose a good player, but also what he could do for their team. How likely is that landing spot for Le'Veon Bell in Baltimore?
I think it's one of the few teams that will be able to, or be willing to, actually pay him sort of the ballpark that he wants. Because I don't think there's going to be a huge market for his talent. Just after sitting out a year at his age, how many touches he's had already, there's just too much risk involved in giving a guy a big contract like that at the running back position. But the Baltimore Ravens have gone as run-heavy as any team in modern football history with Lamar Jackson. They were running, they were going to break. If he played the whole season, they would have broken the single-season rushing record for a team. That's just how frequently they were running the ball. And if you're all in on a strategy like that, all of a sudden running back position is a lot more valuable than it might be around the NFL today for other teams that are more pass-heavy. So I think he brings that to the table. Obviously something different than what they had in Gus Edwards and whatnot running the ball at the end of the year. So I do think that would be one team that would be a perfect fit for Bell's services.
We're with Mike Renner from Pro Football Focus. One more free agency question for you, Mike, before we move on to the draft. And that would be the Bills, as you mentioned. I think you just mentioned them as one of the teams with a ton of cash available to spend, a ton of cap room. Given the crop of free agents likely to be out there and given the Bills' needs, what would be the best possible free agency strategy for the Buffalo Bills in a couple of weeks?
I think the best strategy, truly, in my opinion, would be to try to sign multiple offensive linemen. I know that it's not a great class for playmakers offensively, and you need all the help you can give to Josh Allen, but I do think with his playing style, the way he makes plays with his leg, can make plays outside the pocket, you want to give him as good a protection as he possibly can. They did not have a great offensive line last year. Sign guys who are ready to contribute right away, guys who can impact next year's offensive line. Because if you go to the draft and you spend your first rounder or maybe a second or a third rounder on it, there's no guarantee those guys are going to be able to step in right away and pass protect for Josh Allen. If you get NFL-ready guys, guys who have proven it, all of a sudden, someone like Juwan James at right tackle, someone like Roger Saffold at guard, just guys who have been in the league, they're proven commodities, they're going to be upgrades, I think that's your best bet, because you got to give him more help than they gave him last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, and as this free agents market starts to settle and it goes through its process, it gets right to the draft, and that sets these teams up where maybe they've addressed some of the needs they have and then can look at the draft in a different way. And you have, and in one of your mock drafts, you have the Buffalo Bills trading their first-round pick, which has been kind of a – that's kind of the flavor of the week for people thinking about it a lot, or for the Buffalo Bills. That number nine spot where the Bills sit might be pretty attractive to a lot of teams that are drafting behind them.
Yeah, there's a number of reasons why I think it would make a ton of sense for the Bills to drop down from nine. And one of them is, obviously, you have the Redskins and the Dolphins sitting there in the teens right now, both desperately in need of quarterbacks, both wanting to jump someone like maybe Denver or even the Bengals to get up there and draft a quarterback, you know, get their guy sort of thing like the Bills did a season ago. So I think that, for one reason, is attractive. And two, it's just because, like I said, the Bills need offensive talent. They need someone to go around Josh Allen. And in this draft, it is a defensive-heavy draft. The value at skill positions, the value along the offensive line, is not going to be there with the ninth overall pick. It might be there with the 20th overall pick, but you can get recoup them. So if you trade down to 20, you get some value out of it, get more picks. All of a sudden, you can, you know, build even more talent around him. So I do think if you're just going to sit there and draft a wide receiver and offensive lineman at nine, that's not going to be nearly as valuable as if you trade it down, drafted an off, you know, maybe an offensive lineman there, and then a wide receiver in the second or third round, whichever round you get a pick back from it. I think that'd be much better team building strategy than the top 10.
Hey Mike, how much does Kyler Murray impact the Bills? I mean, if there's a quarterback needy team and the first eight picks have been completed and Kyler Murray's is still out there on the board available to be drafted, the Bills could be in a pretty sweet spot right there, couldn't they?
Yeah, I think they have to be elated that Kyler Murray said he's playing football, just because I think someone will end up coveting him highly in the draft, and that just means a team's drafting, you know, a position that the Bills don't need, leaving the Bills probably a better player that they could need. So I do think they should be very happy about that, and that's who I had, I think, in my mock, them someone trading up to go get.
Yeah, you had the Redskins trading up to get Kyler Murray. You had the Bills choosing a quarterback, Byron Murphy from Washington. What can you tell us about him if the Bills move down and take him later on in the first round?
So, again, like I said, there's just not a ton of skill position players in this draft worthy of taking top 10, top 15. And I think offensive line could be a possibility there, but at the same time, we saw how well Tre'Davious White worked out for the Bills, how much of an immediate impact a cornerback position can have. In my opinion, the second most valuable position after quarterback in the NFL today. And Byron Murphy has the best zone instincts of any cornerback in this draft. He is an incredible playmaker at making plays in off coverage, reading routes in front of him, and going and attacking the football, very much like Tre'Davious White was coming out. So you pair him with Tre'Davious White, you'll have 3 years of both of them on rookie contracts. That's just the makings of a dominant defense that's going to be a dominant defense for years to come. So I do think that if that's where you end up, I think that would be, you need all this help offensively, but you still got to go with the value, and I think the value would be there at the cornerback position if Byron Murphy is available.
And one of the things about this draft, you've got experts saying that they're, even though the quarterbacks in this draft are not high-level elite maybe guys or a lot of them, there still may be as many as four picked in the first round, and that means – the draft order as it stands today is probably going to change drastically on draft day. And that means, I mean, let me just ask you, if a team is in the top 10, how many twos, how many threes? I mean, what kind of collateral do you get for a top 10 pick in a trade on draft day?
You get a lot. I mean, it is. So if, even trading back from, so we saw with the moves this season ago, even just the Bengals trading back from 11 to 21, they got a starting left tackle in the NFL. Right. They got Cordy Glenn. You know, that's a big piece that you can gain from just moving back 10 spots in the draft. And the Bills this year, they have even a higher pick than that. So if they want to move back to the 20s, you can get, you know, maybe even a next year's first round or something like that. We saw the Saints give up that to move from, what was it, 28 or so to 14 last year with the Packers. So I do think when you're in the top 10 in the draft, even a handful of positions, teams are willing to, you know, lose their minds, so to speak, and just give up a lot to go get their guy, especially at the quarterback position. So I do think that they're in a prime spot to get a lot of draft capital back.
Hey, Mike, this is a non-draft question, but something that came across on PFF. The guy, you guys do a great job grading players, units, teams all over the NFL. And we found it interesting that the Bills' defensive backfield, the secondary, was graded as a top 10 unit in 2018. Can you talk about that, the grades that were given, and maybe why you thought the secondary was so strong for Buffalo?
Yeah, I think it goes back to those two safety signings of Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer-Hyde, arguably a top five to top ten safety at this point after what we've seen from them the last two seasons. They're both just perfect fit for that scheme in Buffalo. And Tre'Davious White has been basically everything and more for that secondary. He started tracking number one receivers this year more and more than he did as a rookie, and that's just so big for a defense when you have a guy who can track number one receivers, because even if he doesn't completely shut them down, it all of a sudden gives your second cornerback an easier, job to do, having to track a number two receiver. And I think it just does so much for your defense where you don't have to worry about Tre'Davious White getting burned deep. You don't have to worry about that. He's on his own, and everyone else can do their thing. So I think that just all around it's a very talented secondary at this point. They could even add more pieces to it. It could be taken to the next level of a sort of, Seahawks-esque run with how much young talent they have in it.
Yeah, and I agree with you, and I think it's not off the table for the Bills to continue to strengthen their secondary, like you said, maybe take a corner opposite Tre'Davious White, but I think it all depends, like we said earlier, on the free agent market. If they can fill some holes, which all these teams are trying to do, that only gives them the opportunity to strengthen an already strong position on their team, and that's really what everybody's watching.
Yeah, I think there is a number of holes. You want to go into the draft not targeting need. You want to go into the draft basically with an open mind, saying if we get to XX, the next pick, and the best player is available, we take that best player regardless of position. You don't want to say we're pigeonholed into left guard or, defensive tackle, which position, just because that's how your roster was built. That's how you want to use free agency, is to basically open up your options for the draft. So I do think they should be players to start filling some holes to open up their options come draft time.
Mike, one last question for you. It comes from one of our Twitter followers, Little Bistro, who says, was he on The Bachelorette? You were. We talked about that a couple years ago with you, I believe, right?
I was, yes. Did not. I was definitely on that. We did get to play football on it, so I have to
perfect
show my chops.
Do you get asked about that every day or almost every day?
I get asked about it a lot. Okay? Yeah. When people find out, they're very intrigued by what it all entails.
Thanks for answering football questions from us today. We appreciate it, Mike.
For sure, good fellas. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. All right. Mike Renner, senior analyst, Pro Football Focus. He's been with them since 2012, the contributor to the Washington Post. Yes, a contestant on The Bachelorette.
Yep.
You remember that you watched The Bachelorette?
I did not.
I didn't either.
That's news to me. He knows what he's talking about, the free agent markets and how teams are strategizing to do it. And I think it's interesting to think about what the Bills' strategy is going to be. That number nine pick is gold. And there's nobody in this draft that I think this team needs to go and get. There's no need in our team that's going to be filled by guys in this draft. I don't think there's a left tackle that's going to be there that's going to be worth the number nine overall pick, a guard, a center, a wide receiver. Certainly, I don't think there's a guy who's going to bust it loose.
Pass rusher, maybe?
Maybe a pass rusher, okay. But, like, Joey Bosa's not going to be there.
Nope.
And I couldn't name another one that's going to be that dominant, except your boy
Sweat.
That's it.
Yeah.
Marquise Sweat. Montez Sweat. That's it.
Is he a ninth overall? I don't know. That's,
you know what I noticed
him
about him? Huh. Same thing I noticed about LeBron James when I saw him come out as an 18-year-old high school kid.
What's that?
He looks 32. You know what I mean?
He does look like a full-grown
Montez
man.
Montez Sweat looks like a mature, grown man. And I don't know what he's like as a person. He may be a six-year-old emotionally, for all I know. But he looked like a mature guy. And it looked like guys were treating him that way, like he was a more mature guy. Maybe that just happens when you get a nice beard or something. I don't know. But that's what I noticed about him. And that's one of the things I was like, hey, it kind of piqued my interest as a kind of guy he might be. One of those mature leadership guys that the Buffalo Bills have been looking for. So we'll see. But it's interesting to think about, because that number nine pick is going to be worth something very big to one of the other teams in the NFL, and it's going to be interesting to see what happens with it if the Buffalo Bills indeed either use it or trade it.
I want to thank Mike Renner for joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, presented by Subway Restaurants, proud to be locally owned and operated. Hey, what did you wind up watching on TV this weekend? What were you going into the weekend hoping to watch? That's our kind of a Twitter poll that Steve came up with for today. getting some interesting responses to this today. And you can respond on Twitter or on the telephone line. Which sporting event were you most interested in this past weekend? Was it the Alliance of American Football? Was it the Daytona 500? Was it NBA All-Star Weekend? Or was it something else? Give us a call and we'll discuss. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Lines open. We'll have some tweets to read. Come on back. One Bills Live, presented by Kaleida Health from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Steve, give me hand signals. I have no idea what you're talking about. Talk to me. Don't give me hand signals.
I just want you
thumbs up, pointing at stuff. I'm sitting there saying, what?
Here's the thing. Mike Renner, we just had on, and he said this thing. We were talking about philosophy of free agents, and I said, you know, I like those middle-of-the-road free agents, kind of the under-the-radar guys, like Micah Hyde and Jordan Poirier were for the Bills 2 or 3 years ago now. And Mike Renner said, listen, it was great because Micah Hyde wasn't a starter in Green Bay, and he wasn't. He was a nickelback. And some of our listeners, you know, brought him to task on Twitter, say, hey, I thought, you know, and he says, yeah, he was nickel. He played a lot of nickel, but he was a good player. And that's how you got such good value for a guy like Micah Hyde, who was a really good player, but he was on a team that was so deep at safety, they had established starters, that he was under the radar. So the Bills targeted him, find him, bring him over, and he turns into a Pro Bowl safety and maybe one of the – and like Mike Renner thinks he's one of the top five, top three safeties in the league. And if you can – that, to me, is the ideal. Scour the NFL. Look for teams that are very good in one area and target one of their players that could be a starter somewhere else and who wants a shot, and you give him – half the money you give a superstar, a guy like a Sammy Watkins or a Marcel Darius or a Jadeveon Clowney, what he's going to get, or a Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, you give him half or a third of that money, they love it, they think it's a great find because now they're going to get a chance to play, and they come in and knock it out of the park like Micah Hyde and Jordan Poirier have. That's a great philosophy if you can identify players who are going to be free agents who have not broken into the starting lineup for their team because that team is so good at that position, and you bring them over to your place and they thrive. That's a great philosophy.
It would almost, it strikes me off the top of my head, it would almost be a starting point when you identify the guys. I'm talking about a year ago, the guys who might turn out to be free agents, unrestricted free agents, and then you look at team depth charts and say, okay, who's ahead of them? Who are they playing? Who's ahead of them? Right. Start with that.
Right.
Who do we think is going to break out a little bit? Who's ahead of them on the roster? Maybe that guy is a free agent target.
Yeah, and he mentioned a guy, a pass rusher in Denver, Shaquille, and I cannot remember Shaquille's last name, was supplanted during the season. He was a starter, then supplanted by a really good player who got back in the lineup. Those kind of guys and those kind of situations, if you can pinpoint them around the league, that's, I think, a brilliant strategy if you can pull it off.
Shaquille Barrett,
who was a starter for the Broncos on a pretty good defense and then was supplanted by either Von Miller or whoever coming back in the lineup who sat him down. And that's a lot of fun stuff to think about as the free agency approaches. We're about 3.5 weeks away from it. It's going to be fun. We're going to be at the combine before free agency starts, are we not?
Yes. Yeah, we're at the combine next week.
Next week, right? That's right. It's looking forward to that. We're there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week.
Okay. Yep. Hey, a couple of things we can talk about. The Charles Clay release over the weekend, late Friday. Nobody has any thoughts on that. That's open for discussion. We can talk about our Twitter poll today, which deals with your weekend and your sports weekend as far as being a sports fan. What did you look forward to this weekend? What came through for you in terms of television viewing or live attendance, I guess? That's where you had a caller talk about the Bandits game. Which sporting event were you most interested in this past weekend? Put a couple of options on the Twitter poll, Alliance of American Football, Daytona 500, NBA All-Star Weekend, or something else. Let us know, 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. Want to read from the tweet sheet there, buddy?
And we've gotten a couple of these. PGA Tour, the Genesis Open was good this weekend. This is from JD in Rochester. The AAF is very interesting, and the Daytona 500 had a crazy ending, so obviously JD in Rochester was surfing. through the options. Awesome. Also, Adam Renzoni says the AAF is great to watch. There's no kickoffs, good scoring, and it's watchable. Number two,
or two of the games had great comebacks, including the AAF Apollos game. Great game to watch. There's a lot of support for the AAF. For a brand new league, I get the sense that the AAF is much different than the WFL, the USFL, the XFL, NFL Europe. It's a much different feel about it than we've seen in the past. It seems like it's got staying power to me at
Two
this
weeks?
Early stage.
Can you say
yeah.
that?
Two yeah,
weeks?
People are really interested that. In it. It's just different enough to be interesting, competitive enough to be compelling once you watch it. It keeps your attention. And you're kind of thinking these teams are some of these guys are going to – you're going to see them on Sunday in the fall, too. Mm-hmm. So it's got a lot going for it, I think.
Great from the tweet sheet here from Rob Truban. He said, I was very much looking forward to watching the Sabres and college basketball this weekend. Thanks to Sabres' ineptness and Merce Wolverines crushing my Terps, my weekend of sports watching was hugely disappointing.
Yeah, there's always that.
There's always that. Yeah. You look forward to something, and then it doesn't come.
And here's one of the problems, too, with the AAFL from Brian Cook. I was most drawn to the AAF, but it's not nearly as accessible to watch, so I was unable to find an accessible medium to view without a cable subscription. Hoops, college hoops it is. Sigh. So he's a college hoops guy, but only after the football.
So, excessive. Where were the games? You watch them? Were they on
CBS Sports Network, TNT, and the NFL Network.
What's wrong with that? That's
well, you can't get. They're not broadcast. They're only cable or DirecTV or satellite. You can't get them on broad. They weren't on NBC, CBS, or ABC.
Yeah, I wouldn't look for
or
that.
Fox.
Here's a call from Roy in Amherst. Hello, Roy. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hi. Yes, I had a question about the agency. You know anything about Clark from Seattle?
Yeah, Frank. Is it Frank Clark? He's a guy, and he's been somewhat productive. In fact, Renner talked about him a minute ago. But he also has a little baggage from his collegiate career. He had some domestic violence issues in college in Michigan. Frank Clark. I don't know. He's had a rough past. I don't know if he fits in with what they're looking for here. But a fairly productive player. I wouldn't break the bank to sign Frank Clark.
And what about Earl Thomas?
At the strongest position on the Buffalo roster?
That's the thing.
Really?
It's hard to bring another safety in and think he's going to crack the starting lineup, even if it is Earl Thomas. And if he do, how much is it going to cost? And are you going to have three safeties on the field? I mean, or you know, are you going to take Jordan Poyer or Micah Hyde off the field? That's the problem with that. So I see it. Yeah, Earl Thomas is a great player, but this is one of those teams where all of a sudden – you'd be taking somebody off the field that you really need on the field or has really played well. So you got too much of a good thing, I would think, if you brought Earl Thomas over.
Thanks for your call. Hey, Steve, this is out there. Dan Hansis, NFL.com, wrote this. Hard Knocks. Last year, the Cleveland Browns, a lot of people liked that show. I watched 1.5 episodes maybe last year. Right now, there are five teams that could qualify. In order to qualify for Hard Knocks, you avoid being on Hard Knocks if, one, you have a first-year head coach, two, you have a playoff berth in the last two seasons that would eliminate the Buffalo Bills, or three, you've been on Hard Knocks in the last 10 years. So most of the teams in the NFL are knocked out because of that. First-year head coach, playoffs last 2 years, or you've been on Hard Knocks before.
Right.
Five options for Hard Knocks. Can I run these five by you?
I'm all over it.
The New York Giants on Hard Knocks. The Oakland Raiders, the San Francisco 49ers, the Washington team, or the Detroit Lions. Who would you like to see on Hard Knocks out of that group? I would, you know what I'd vote for? Oakland.
Me too.
Right now we don't even know where they're going to play. I mean, how much drama is that?
Yeah.
What's supposed to be their last year in Oakland, you would imagine there's all kinds of drama and all sorts of complications about that. A glib and articulate head coach who certainly is comfortable being on camera. Yeah, Oakland would be my number one choice to be on Hard Knocks.
Yeah, mine was followed closely by the New York Giants. I'd like to see what's going on over there, how they're going to handle Eli and all the things that are going on over there. I think Odell Beckham Jr. would love to be on Hard Knocks. He would do anything to get on camera.
He'd take over the show.
He would. He'd take over the show. I'm not so San Francisco is a little bit intriguing. Jimmy Garoppolo coming back from a big injury. They're in a very tough division out there, and there's some expectations tied to them. But Washington and Detroit, I could not be less interested in either one of those two. There's not possible for me to be any less interested in Washington or Detroit. So there you have it. I mean, that's where I'm at. I'm kind of with you.
Giants could be interesting if they have a rookie quarterback ready to challenge Eli Manning. You know what I mean? If there's a legitimate challenger.
Well, that'd be.
Are they going to put themselves in position to get that guy? I don't know.
That would be compelling.
Yeah.
I would love to see that. I like Eli a lot, and I think he's gotten a little bit of a. He's a little bit got a little Joe Flacco in him. He's a little bit of a flatline guy, and people are like, you know, kind of give us something here, would you? And he doesn't. And his play has not been stellar the last handful of years. He's got two Super Bowl wins. Joe Flacco had one. Those two guys are almost the same guy. They're just not effective for some reason or other, and it's hard to pinpoint as to why. Certainly Joe Flacco's been injured, which has hurt his ability to be productive. But Eli's just seems to play bad. And that's amazing for a guy who's won two Super Bowls. So I think that might be intriguing, particularly like you said, Murph. Man, if they draft anybody at that spot, it's a circus. It's a circus that rolls into town overnight.
You know how the story with Hard Knocks usually when you talk about potential candidates is, well, they don't want it. This team doesn't want it. This team doesn't want it. You know who might want it? Who probably does want it? The Oakland Raiders, yeah. Right? Yeah. As they get set to move to Las Vegas to build their new brand, they're going to have to get some fans in Vegas. They'll have no problem selling tickets, I'm sure. But I would think that would benefit their new brand, the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders, to be on Hard Knocks, yes, this year, to kind of set the tone and lay the groundwork for the type of team they're going to be in Vegas the following year.
Yeah, or they might want to say, yeah, we want to be on, but we want to wait till our first year in Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, they might want to push it off 1 year. Say, we promise we'll do it next year.
Yeah, but they can sell season tickets for next year if they're on this year. What?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Or they might have a chilling effect on season tickets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know. But, yeah, Hard Knocks coming up. It's going to be interesting to see who they pick. The reason we picked these five teams is these are the only five teams that don't have the option to say no. These five teams can't get out of it if they're the ones that HBO wants to put on. So for the three reasons that you said, they haven't been in the playoffs the last 2 years. They don't have a brand new head coach. And some other reason I can't think of which. Why, what's the third reason?
They have not been on Hard Knocks in the last 10 years.
Yeah, it's been a decade since they've been on. So that's the criterion, and there's only five teams left.
Muriel in Amherst has a thought on what she was looking forward to keeping an eye on sports this weekend. Muriel, welcome to the show. You're on the air with us.
Oh, thank you. I was answering your poll.
Yeah.
And I look forward to UB basketball and Duke and also the AAFL, especially the Salt Lake City team.
Why?
So NASCAR.
Why Salt Lake?
Brandon Oliver is on that team.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, yeah, Bo Oliver, cool. All right, thanks, Muriel. Those are good reasons. Very nice.
Yeah, Brandon Oliver, and he played well. I saw him carry the rock a couple of times. He's playing well.
Thanks for calling. Here is Gary on his cell phone. Hello, Gary. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Good.
Doing good.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about Charles Clay, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought, you know, if they could sign him now, you know, when he's young, like 26, 27, and he stayed healthy, I think it would have been a better signing. Because I don't think Tyrod even throw in the middle. We all know that. I think Josh is going to be a better thrower in the middle of the field. And I think that really would have been, if he was healthy, that would have been a better, matchup as far as talent and usage. But that's what it's all about when you have a player. Is he going to fit the scheme and the quarterback? As receivers only get the ball, the quarterback gives him the ball.
Yeah, I get you. I mean, you're right, Gary. I mean, wouldn't it be nice to have Charles Clay at 26 years old, healthy, coming into himself and with a Josh Allen? Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I get you. Charles Clay was a good free agent signing, not a great one. He had some ability, and it was really up to the offense to try and get him the football. They didn't have a quarterback that liked to throw between the numbers. They had a guy that liked to throw outside the numbers, and they struggled to throw the football at all, really. Or they just weren't very good at it for a couple of years, most of the prime years that would have been great to have him. And then, of course, as we all know, the injuries set in on him, and that kind of set him back. So he couldn't contribute here of late, and he couldn't practice either. So Yeah, all that stuff. If woulda, coulda, shoulda, it would have been nice if Charles Clay was 5 or 6 years younger and the Bills signed him to a rookie deal.
Yeah, and there are tight ends available in free agency. I've always been a fan of Max Williams, who's down there in Baltimore. Pretty productive tight end, former second-round draft pick. He's 24 years old. He is hitting the free agent market. Jared Cook hitting the free agent market from Oakland. Cincinnati has Tyler Eifert, C.J. Uzoma, I forget how to say that.
Uzoma.
And Tyler Kroft, all scheduled to be free agents. They may not be on March 13th, but right now. And there's supposed to be some pretty decent free agents in the draft. In fact, we're going to talk about that with Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network. She's coming up a little bit after 2 o'clock. We'll take a break here. We got a few more minutes left in this hour. Come on back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. Little snowstorm today. Nothing we can't handle. Thanks for tuning in. We got this under control. So, Colin Kaepernick's attorney says, yes, he wants to play in the NFL. He says the Carolina Panthers, the Patriots, two of the best landing spots for him. The agent is Mark Garagos. He talked a day after Kaepernick and Eric Reed reached a settlement with the NFL on their collusion grievances against the league. Peter King wrote about this in his post on Monday's Football Morning in America. And I really read it hard today, this morning. Thought about it pretty hard. It's very difficult to determine what happened here. Did Kaepernick and Reed settle because they thought that might be the best they can do, that they were going to lose their grievance? Or did the NFL settle because they thought they were going to lose? And there's no evidence either way, Steve. There have been reports, none really substantiated, on how much money Kaepernick and Reed would get from the league in this settlement. And they really got the clamps down on it. They're not going to tell. It's a grievance filed in October 2017. It went before a hearing officer who kind of mediated this settlement. Kaepernick filed a grievance under the collective bargaining agreement alleging collusion against signing him to an NFL contract. Peter King wrote about it in a really interesting way, talking about how the league is coming off a pretty good year, believe it or not, in terms of its image and what went on this past year. And they really didn't want to have the specter of owners being deposed, testifying under oath, and the things that might come out in that. And they said, the league said, what would be more damaging to our image, to settle this grievance and make it go away with a sealed agreement, or have these owners, you know, be deposed under scrutiny? And who knows what they might say, right? Well, some of these owners, you would worry about them under oath what they might say.
Well, there's also the fact that by disclosure, discovery, they can bring in phone records, mm-hmm. text, everything, and private emails to the table. And there's, you know, these owners, there's a lot of stuff in there they don't want out.
They don't want out there.
Probably embarrassing.
Yeah.
And that's probably what led to it as well. But you got to know, too, and our good friend Amy Trask said this as well, whatever Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed got from this settlement, it's split 32 ways. The owner, I mean, it's a league-wide settlement. And the interesting – and I would really – and it may get leaked out what the settlement was. I've heard both things. I've heard $60 to $80 million, and I've also heard that it's going to be much less than what people may think it should have been or would have been. Whatever way it went, I know that Colin Kaepernick in the suit said that it was about collusion of keeping him out of the league. I think it was more than that. I don't think Colin Kaepernick in any way, shape, or form sold out, because he does have the opportunity now to come back and play in the league if he so desires. And I would not be surprised if he gets an opportunity.
Well, his agent says, I think you're going to see in the next 2 weeks that somebody's going to step up and do the right thing, he said. You want me to predict who? He said Patriots, Panthers. Can Kaepernick – I'm not going to say Kaepernick can't help a team, but he's not ready to play, right? I mean, right now he hasn't played.
I don't know that he's been working out, but if he's in shape, he can certainly do it. He's got the physical abilities. I think it's going to be really interesting because all the people who have been critical of him and all the people who have been supportive of him, we're all talking from a place we don't know. We've seen him play well. He took the 49ers the last half of that season to the playoffs or to the Super Bowl, and was within a 2-point conversion of tying it up late. So we've seen him play well, but then in the last 2 or 3 years after that, not so much. And then we saw him walk away from a $12 million contract for the 49ers, which was curious to me. and I've never really heard the ins and outs of whether he thought he was going to get cut or whether he thought he was being underpaid. Certainly the Niners, and there was some thought, you know, it could go both ways. But once he gets signed by a team, an NFL team, and they start evaluating him with no rose-colored glasses and no hatred involved, well, you got guys who want to win games, and if he can help them, he's going to stay. That's when the rubber meets the road and all the rhetoric can stop. We'll get a chance to see what the guy can really do on some play, in some place, some other team than the 49ers.
Look, whether collusion or not, and I don't believe there was collusion, you know, provable collusion on the part of the owners, if you sign Colin Kaepernick because you think he can help your football team, okay, you also have to accept that there's going to be significant protests and outrage over that. And I think for a team, the calculation will be, and this is not collusion, the calculation for a team is this backup quarterback worth all of the grief we're going to catch when we sign him, when we play him, when we line up for the national anthem? Is he worth all that grief?
I think at this point –
I think that's a tough question.
I think at this point, I think that is kind of died down.
I don't know.
Not that we haven't – you know. Not that it doesn't mean he's not going to kneel down anymore at the anthem, but I think I don't think there's any question that when it came out, why he was going to kneel came out too long after the fact that he had been kneeling for a month, and you know, obviously for the cause that he really believes in, still does, and all of us can really sympathize with, the apparent act of what he did outweighed what he was trying to say. And that's why now that the message has gotten out, says, listen, I'm not protesting the military or that, it's social justice, then that does cast a different light on it. It'll be interesting to see whether the backlash will be.
Then, let's face it, Kaepernick's message was distorted deliberately by certain people.
Sure. A political agenda.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It became a weapon for people to wield in any way, shape, or form they chose fit, and saw fit to.
That would happen again.
You
don't think?
Oh, yeah.
It would happen
again. Of course. Of course it
would gain from that political agenda.
People in high offices. But here's the thing.
In the highest of offices.
And here's the thing. You forget 1968 when the two gentlemen who won the 100 and the 1 and 2 in the 200-meter dash put their heads down with the black. Yeah.
Yeah. They did this.
How are they viewed now? Not too bad.
No.
I mean, they're highly respected for the courage they showed. I think down the line, I think that's probably where Colin Kaepernick will get to. And I think it's real. And I'm not going to take either side. I'm just saying I think it's going to be really interesting because I, like you, Murph, the more we talk about it right here, I think it's going to happen.
I just don't know football-wise how he can help because he hasn't for a couple of years. But I could be wrong on that. All right, we got a break here. Coming up, Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network will talk about NFL analytics. That's her specialty, but she also is paying a lot of attention to the Alliance of American Football. She's coming up next. Come on back. One Bills Live, presented by Kalina Health from One Bills Drive. And this is Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.